This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Arthritis is a common term used for any disorder that affects the joints. Many still believe it's an unavoidable aspect of aging, but is it really? Consultant rheumatologist Dr. Sargunan Sokalingam, who is also the president of the Arthritis Foundation Malaysia, is joining us today for a refresher of sorts on arthritis and to address some of the common queries about the condition and also about other rheumatic disorders. You can call us with your questions at 03-7733-2900. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Sargunan.
It's great to be here, Sharmila.
So, you know, when you hear the word arthritis, many of us would, I think, associate it with joint pain, with stiffness. How accurate is this perception?
Oh, you got that right. Arthritis presents with the stiffness of the joints and also pain. Add to that is swelling. So this will encompass the person's experience of arthritis and what arthritis means. And it can occasionally be a misnomer in that arthritis is inflammation of the joint, right? So the problem here is that there are sometimes when you have those symptoms of swelling and pain with some problems in movement in a situation where it's not actually inflammation, it's actually degenerative change, such as a mechanical insult. And that's where the term, for one, is osteoarthritis.
Right.
Which is probably the one you have in mind. As we all grow older, our joints get creaky, gets cranky, it becomes painful, occasionally swelling. And yes, in the initial stage of osteoarthritis, the degenerative disease, it is some degree of inflammation. But with time, it's actually more mechanical. And that happens because there is wear and tear. Like any engine, like any parts of a machine, whereas it's used many years on, it has wear and tear. And that our joints are pretty much the same. If you think about our movement, we're moving literally, except when we're sleeping. But sometimes when you're sleeping, you're moving, you know, with your dreams and nightmares, and if that ever happens. But most of the time, we're moving. And you can see the stress on the joints.
So when you say mechanical, what does that really translate to in day-to-day life?
Well, mechanical can happen. Okay, I'll give you an example. As people who, having read about the importance of fitness, suddenly decide to go to the gym, suddenly decide to do something they're not used to doing, such as planking, or they want that washboard abs and decide to do the 100 sit-ups for that one time in their life. And what happens is you stress the joint. Right? Or you go running without proper warm-up. And you develop certain mechanical injuries. And that's why you hear about meniscus tear, the ligaments get torn, and some immediate wearing of surfaces. So that can be actually quite painful. So that is the mechanical problem associated.
And arthritis is something that is quite prevalent globally. It is actually the number one cause of disability in places like the US. But many still don't actually understand the reality of the different types of arthritis. You know, could you talk us through some of the common types of arthritis and the key characteristics or symptoms of them?
Yeah. So the first symptom, first disease is osteoarthritis. Yeah. It's really very common. In fact, statistics are that any woman, for instance, over the age of 65, highly likely they're suffering from knee osteoarthritis. And we understand the process. But what is important to understand is, and I'd like to get this message across, is that arthritis is not necessarily a disease of old people. And I've had times when people told me, oh, arthritis, you treat the old people. Now, we're happy to treat our elders, yes. But we have to understand arthritis actually affects young people as well. And which is where we need to get the message across to people. If a child or a teenager complains of joint pains and there's a swelling of the joint or stiffness of the joint, that needs to be brought to a doctor as soon as possible.
And would that also fall under osteoarthritis?
That would be inflammatory arthritis. But you see, arthritis itself, arthritis is inflammation. So that's why there's a bit of a misnomer issue. Now, this is inflammation. Now, inflammation is the process by which the body responds to any insult, in this case, any break in tissue. All right? Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's say I endure a slap from someone, okay, right on the face, and it's quite intense enough that your face becomes red, right? So there is some degree of inflammation there that is due to impact, yeah. But inflammation can happen to our eyes as untriggered, and that is the form of inflammation most commonly seen in autoimmune diseases, that there is a trigger. Could be a molecular, chemical, viral trigger that starts the inflammatory process. And the joints, being such important tissues, respond via inflammation. The components of this would be increase in blood supply. By increasing in blood supply, there's also increase in tissue fluid. Therefore, you get the swelling. The pain receptors are activated. You have pain. And it's warm. So these are the symptoms. And this inflammation, it's almost, and that is why many people with initial symptoms of, say, rheumatoid arthritis or psoriatic arthritis, when they will develop the swelling, the pain, the wrist, the first thought they'll have is, did I hit this somewhere?
Mm.
Or maybe in my sleep I hit it. But actually, when you ask them, you will be very clear, they didn't hit. So this is a form of arthritis which is not mechanical, but inflammatory. And most of the time, it is due to an autoimmune process. There are other processes. It can happen in infections as well.
So the inflammation is actually, your body's trying to tell you something.
That's right. Inflammation is just the way the body responds to any form of insult. It may be a good thing. It can be a bad thing. Good thing in that, it's alerting you to something. Bad thing in that sometimes this process is very difficult to control, and it can create the kind of damage that unfortunately leads to the entire paradigm of symptoms that you see in signs that you see in inflammatory disorders such as lupus.
Mm.
And I'm moving a little bit to lupus because rheumatologists, that's what I am, we rheumatologists also treat other diseases which are autoimmune, but not necessarily the joints. And one of this is systemic lupus erythematosus.
Right. Yeah. And the symptoms are related to some of the symptoms that we might see with arthritis.
Correct.
Right.
That's right.
And what are some of the other kinds of arthritis that that exists?
There are close to about, I want to say 200, mm-hmm. Close to about 100 types of arthritic diseases. And it can be anything between the osteoarthritis to rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, the inflammatory arthritis. So I talked about degenerative, mm-hmm. and this is inflammatory. And then there's the crystal arthritis due to formation of uric acid crystals in people with gout.
With gout, right.
Right. Yeah. And that is also a very common disease. And the pain of gout is excruciating. Will definitely warrant a visit immediately within 10 to 15 minutes to the emergency center or the doctor. And that is a very common form of arthritis. There's another condition called CPPD or chondrocalcinosis, also a form of crystal deposition. Then there are the other rarer forms, like associated with certain endocrine or metabolic disorders. Probably won't get into that. But I have to remember that many viral diseases can present as joint pains.
And would those be then considered arthritis, or are they just presenting the same symptoms?
We'd consider them as viral arthritis. Mm-hmm. We consider them. So, and it can be in certain diseases like chikungunya, which is a viral arthritic disease transported by mosquitoes. The joint pains are really very prominent.
Yes, that was one of the things that they kept saying.
Whoever experienced, I've devised a test called the jump test myself, wherein I just try to, just slightest pressure on the person's finger and they jump because it's so painful. And so that is it's a viral disease. Yet the most prominent thing about that is the joint symptom. Mm.
So one of the common threads, as you're talking, is obviously pain. And arthritis is one of those conditions where there's a lot of pain associated with having it. In the US, for instance, it is actually considered a disability. Is that similar here? Do we consider it a disability in Malaysia?
Well, arthritis is disabling. And I wouldn't want to jump the gun, but rheumatoid arthritis, when it's advanced, it's almost, the changes are irreversible. Now, we have the medicines now to prevent the disease from progressing to a point that the person now requires a wheelchair, could require even joint replacement. For people like that, yes, they are eligible for the Kad Orang Kurang Upaya. Yeah, okay, you got disability card. Mm. But we are trying to prevent that. So these are preventable. Yeah, so that is one, the aspect that is... Now, you're talking about pain. Now, pain, today, I think you had a show recently about painkillers.
Yes.
That was a very informative show in that it talked about the various types of pain, and pain management itself is a completely different field, but it does come under our purview because inflammation and pain, sometimes, not all the time, follow the same pathway. So the medications that we use to reduce inflammation also help with the pain.
Right.
And they're very effective. So the pain of arthritis is in tune with the inflammation. Mm-hmm. And it works with your NSAIDs and COX-2 inhibitors and so on. Yeah.
So you, one of the things you mentioned earlier was that arthritis is not just a disease that hits old people, but it is often linked with aging, right? Now, if you associate something with aging, does that necessarily mean that if you live long enough, ultimately you will develop arthritis?
That goes to the individual. There could be individuals who live up to 80 and not experience any form of joint pains. How is that possible? It's possible because they maintain a reasonable level of fitness, they maintain their body weight and body BMI to that level that is required. They're physically active. So that's probably the points. However, genetics could have something to do with it as well. So it is our understanding that the experience of arthritis is highly individualized. So a blanket statement of as we grow older, arthritis is probably, well, it may be true, but I don't think we should emphasize on that for one reason, in that there are ways that we can improve the entire situation. Now, going back to your point about it, the young, you have to understand, like, rheumatoid arthritis is a disease that affects mostly women from the ages of 15 to 45.
Right. Okay.
Ankylosing spondylitis starts during the teenage years. There's juvenile idiopathic arthritis. It's also in the teenage years as well, in children as well. Lupus affects women between the age of 15 to 45. So these are mostly our patients in the Unistimulare Medical Center. Mm.
So right. Obviously I have a vested interest in asking, why does it seem like so many more women have arthritis than men?
Yes, so we understand that perhaps the environment of the endocrinal environment in women that differs with men has a contributory factor. So we think maybe the link of estrogen could be actually quite strong in these. You see, women of the reproductive age group, and especially when they're menstruating, they're protected from cardiovascular disease. We know that. Unfortunately, autoimmune disease seems to be more common in women.
Mm.
And we think that it's because of that environment that keeps them prone to autoimmune disease. Having said that, I mean, these are not the most common of diseases, you know. Please don't panic, and you know, and awareness is important. And I think to understand that autoimmune disease can go up to about 5 to 10% of the population. Yeah, but when it does happen, it's important to recognize it and seek early treatment. Mm.
Well, we do need to take a break, but we are talking to Dr. Sargunan Sokalingam about arthritis and the various factors that, cause it, as well as the ways in which we can tell if we have it. We'll be back after a short break, but you can still WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, and you can call us at 03-7733-2900 if you have any questions or thoughts about arthritis. You're listening to BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, and together with me is Dr. Sargunan Sokalingam, and he is a consultant rheumatologist as well as president of the Arthritis Foundation Malaysia, and we're talking about arthritis. Dr. Sargunan, we did have someone WhatsApp in during the break, and what they want to know is, what is SLE and how to prevent it?
Right. So SLE, I mentioned earlier, yes. Systemic lupus erythematosus. It's an autoimmune disease. It can be acute, it can be chronic, and it affects mostly women, as I mentioned, between the ages of 15 to about 40. And what it is a disease characterized by the presence of an antibody called anti-nuclear antibody. To go specific to the how to prevent it, you can't prevent SLE. If it's going to strike, it's probably going to strike. But what we can do is recognize it early and seek early treatment.
Mm. Well, on that note then, you know, not just SLE, but arthritis and the various types of it in general, how frequently will these conditions present with visible signs? You know, and if will they generally be the obvious sort of swelling, you know, permanent joint change?
We know that the first thing that usually happens in people who are going to develop arthritis is lethargy. They're going to be very tired, fatigue. Mm. It's a very prominent symptom. And they would feel tired for no reason. And we know the reason for that is because of all the circulating cytokines and the interferons that have something to do with that. So at that point, probably won't be able to think anything. You know, all of us think we're tired all the time, right? And we ate too much, and all those things. We don't exercise yes. enough and so on. And after that, it's the stiffness of the joints. So there won't probably be anything very visible at the time, but they wake up in the morning feeling your joints really very stiff. Now, again, sometimes stiffness of the joints are something that we all do experience, yes. maybe to some extent, but it's usually not going to stop you from getting up and going to brush your teeth and so on. But the experience of arthritis in such a situation with the stiffness of the joints actually lasts well into breakfast and actually going to work as well. So they feel the stiffness quite prominently. And even then, many will say like, oh, that's probably nothing. So, and then they see the joint swell up, a wrist joint or the joints of the fingers and a knee joint swelling and so on. That's when the alarms start ringing and they would go and see a doctor. This is our experience, what we see from our patients. It's very rare that we get people who come in with early morning stiffness, immediately recognizing the symptom. But we're starting to see that because I think with the advent of the internet and Google...
Sure, and people are slightly better informed.
Better informed. Yeah. And we think it's good. We're quite appreciative of how the internet has been very useful in advocating patient information. So, and we see that faster, we recognize them faster. There are blood tests that we can do. They can confirm our diagnosis and we can move on from there.
It does sound, though, that, as you said, some of these symptoms, they are things that a lot of us may perceive as being quite normal. Do people only come in? Does it tend to happen that people only come in at later stages?
Yes, it does. It does. Even now, whether it's rural or urban, we still see somewhat the same responses or the same ways in which people are presenting. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I think the dictum is simple. When in doubt, go see your doctor.
That's very good advice.
So when in doubt, just go and say, it's okay, you know, because we'd rather be safe than sorry. We'd rather be able to pick things up faster. And we know now that the earlier you address the issue, the better the outcome.
Mm. We do have a caller on the line. We have Farisha. Farisha, you have a question for Dr. Sargunan?
I'm just curious. Since children these days are already using mobile phones, will that somehow affect their hands when they get older? Maybe they are at risk of getting hand arthritis. Arthritis.
Okay. Yeah, Farisha, thank you for your question. So you're talking about children now using their hands this time
with mobile devices.
Mobile devices. Yeah. I think the way to look at it is, so what was it like before? Were they not using any devices? So probably not devices, but what about children go for piano classes, who, you know, play with puzzles and so on? I know that doesn't happen ever anymore now. It's all the phones. But I think the thing about children is remarkable. Their resilience is fantastic. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. I'm not encouraging them to use their phones. Like, you know, throw away the phones. You know, I mean, that's a different topic altogether.
Right, but mobile phone usage.
I wouldn't say, that is a problem. Mm. However, it probably would be an issue with people like us. You know, like me, the older ones.
Oh dear. Yeah.
So I have read a colleague of mine, an orthopedic surgeon who specializes in hand and musculoskeletal issues. He was saying that he found that many people who use their thumb a lot for texting would later have some problems with it. He actually gave it a name called thumbitis. And, you know, why not? As you can see now, we are using our thumbs a lot more. And in addition to our day-to-day work as well. So it is possible.
So are certain joints more susceptible to pain and inflammation?
As long as it's a synovial joint, all joints have the ability, rather, to develop arthritis. So because the synovium is a very specialized tissue, if you think about it, it's amazing that we have bones that oppose each other within a capsule that can just, you know, rub against each other, go into that friction. The reason for that is you have the synovium creating the environment to make that possible.
Right. And, you know, we often talk about flares, arthritic flares.
Yeah.
What exactly are these flares and why do they happen?
That is sometimes a mystery. Mm. When we have patients who are doing very well with treatment, say their rheumatoid arthritis, and when we see them in the clinic, they're absolutely fine. They're taking their medications. They have no swollen joint, no painful joint. Their blood levels are very good. And they're doing very well. But 2 weeks later, they experience pain, either in one joint or many joints. We do not know why that happens. A flare can happen spontaneously, even in the best well-controlled situation.
And this is sort of called the flare cycle, isn't it? Sort of like it goes off and comes back.
Yeah, you have on days and off days, that sort of thing. It shouldn't be very common. It could just mean that perhaps we're not optimizing the drug. It also could mean that the probably the treatment is not effective. So we need to look into, do we need to add on another drug? Maybe the dose has to go up, yeah? And of course, if someone is suddenly took part in an activity that they're not used to, right? So that could trigger something. And then there's some talk about, you know, many of my arthritis patients actually say their children or the grandchildren have a lot of fun with them because if it's going to rain that day...
yes, my joints hurt.
Yeah, my joints start to hurt. So, you know, in this hot weather and all, everyone's looking at everyone. You have arthritis, right? Yeah. Do you feel joint pains today? No? Oh, gosh, another dry day. Yeah.
But what about things like stress? Often you hear that stress can trigger flares.
As much as I hate to say it, my experience with my patients is there are situations where stress does increase. Like in psoriatic arthritis, for instance, they're doing very well. But someone's going, in the family is going for exams, they get their psoriatic flares.
Mm.
Right, so stress has something to do with it, yes.
And so, you know, what kind of quality of life are we talking about for someone who is living with arthritis?
That's a topic that's not very much addressed. And it's actually very dear to me. My time as the president of Arthritis Foundation, what I really tried to do is to get people, especially those in the upper, you know, unreachable echelons of power, to please pay attention to people with arthritis because they have absolutely no recourse to anything. They're still expected to go to work. How many days of MC can you get? You can't take more than 2 days, 3 days. They still have to go to work.
Sure.
They still pay the same amount of taxes. Have you experienced being sick and coming to work? It's one of the most miserable things ever, right? You can't even focus. And it's because the experience of the pain.
Right.
But nobody talks about that, right? You asked for, there are medications, but they're expensive. Insurance doesn't cover it. They don't want to cover it, right? And but when it comes to a disease like cancer, that's yes, you get all the attention, you know. So I feel this is really unfair because people with arthritis are in fact contributing to society, but they're contributing while they're in pain. Now try working in pain, and we've had those kind of pain simulators, and we put ordinary people come. You want to experience what arthritis people go through, and say, you know what, that's what they go through every single day.
Quite unimaginable.
And have you heard anyone complaining? The thing about my arthritis patients, they never complain. I've not heard them complain. I said, you are the people who need to come out and tell them, listen, I'm living with this, and yet I have to do everything that is expected of me. And when it comes to paying taxes, yes, oh, please pay up your taxes. You know, you have a disease, too bad, right? So, I mean, where's the compassion in all of this?
Right.
Right? And we just mentioned that you know, arthritis, musculoskeletal diseases, at least in the US, they're addressing it. Well, I guess pain is part and parcel of life. Too bad you got to live with it. That's the kind of attitude that I see all around.
Mm.
So it's a very, how do you say, frustrating battle for physicians.
Right.
Not to mention the patients.
Well, we are talking about arthritis, you know, living with it. What are some of the ways in which we can manage living with arthritis? I'm speaking to Dr. Sargunan Sokalingam. He is a consultant rheumatologist as well as president of Arthritis Foundation Malaysia. We need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll continue this discussion. Meanwhile, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900. This is Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back. This is Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Together with me is Dr. Sargunan Sokalingam, consultant rheumatologist and president of the Arthritis Foundation Malaysia. We are talking about arthritis. And Dr. Sargunan, you know, you were talking earlier about how your arthritis patients, you know, sort of live with a large amount of pain because of the condition. You know, what are some of the treatments that are available in terms of managing or even treating arthritis?
Yeah. The interesting part about the arthritis that we treat, the inflammatory arthritis, if you treat the arthritis, you will address the pain because the pathways are somewhat similar.
Right.
And so I'll give you an example. If a person has rheumatoid arthritis, and she has swollen joints, painful joints, and so on, it's not able to move, our first job is to make sure that, to give her back the ability to move, pain-free. And we have powerful agents for that. So the drugs that we use are basically glucocorticoids. The layman term would be steroids, and they're very powerful anti-inflammatory agents. So by dealing with that inflammation, you actually address the pain. So that's a very powerful agent. Now, many places, we can address the pain. So one of the problems in arthritis is that pain being the prominent symptom, when they seek treatment at the general practitioner, they will give them NSAIDs or COX-2 inhibitors, and they are very powerful painkillers. So they can treat the pain. But it's not going to address the issue of the arthritis.
Mm.
The arthritis itself, there are certain specialized drugs that we call disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs. A number of class of drugs that are, I guarantee you, are not painkillers. They are not painkillers at all, but they actually work over time in reducing the inflammation, trying to return the joints back to their normal calibration, right? So that's the way we treat it. So you have a number of drugs that we use to address it, and most commonly we use glucocorticoid steroids. We can use the NSAIDs and COX-2 inhibitors. When things are a little bit difficult, sometimes we do use the opioid group of drugs.
But what we're actually talking about is management.
Right.
Arthritis doesn't have a cure, am I right?
Like many diseases in medicine, there's no cure. Mm. But you can manage. So it's a good point you brought out, Sharmila, in that it's not always just medicine. There's the non-pharmacological management as well. So we work very closely with our physiotherapists, with our occupational therapists. My team also works very well with these group of people. Sometimes they sit in with us in the clinics and they identify a particular problem. If a person's joint is configuration is not good, they actually come and take them, give them an appointment to go to their center, and they will address the issue with using splints, wax therapy, using some sort of joint protection exercises and so on. So that's the non-pharmacological aspect of it. So people with arthritis, we actually tell them, in the first 24 hours of pain, we rest the joint. But once you're able to move it and the swelling comes down, you need to start moving your joints again.
Mm.
So that is one other thing that we do. We actually encourage our arthritis patients to exercise, but not the impact exercises.
Right.
Yeah, the low, if not minimal impact exercise.
So you mentioned steroids and opioids earlier. Mm. They do have a bad reputation, though.
They do.
What if a patient refuses to take them?
Well, we have hardly met anyone who refuses to take steroids because it's so painful. And when the time comes, it's like, doctor, please give me something for the pain, and they will take the pain. I agree with you that, yes, they have this reputation, but our doctors are trained to be able to use at the lowest required dose for the shortest period of time to exert maximal therapeutic response and minimize whatever side effects that are very likely to come out of the use, long-term use of these drugs.
Right. Speaking of this idea of curing, we do have a WhatsApp message from Zaidi, and he asks, I have spondylitis.
Spondylitis. Yes.
Is it related to arthritis, which we
established? It is. Yeah, it's a form of arthritis of the spine. Yeah.
He wants to know whether it can be cured.
Again, spondylitis, there are a few forms. The one we are very common, we commonly see within the scope of arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis, which unfortunately has no cure, but we can control it and try to reduce the progression. Things like cervical spondylosis and so on, spondylitis and so on. There sometimes can be surgical correction. But these are deformities that is already impacted. It's a bone. It's like your construction thing gone all awry, gone haywire. So they may require surgical. But if medication, a little bit difficult. You can reduce inflammation with anti-inflammatory agents. But that's the initial stage.
And we have another listener who has WhatsApped us. And he says, I know I will have arthritis when I reach 50 to 60 years old. What can I do to prepare from now with the remaining time I have? What would
very optimistic young man.
I know.
Yeah. So
he doesn't
planning
say how old
way
he is
ahead.
Now, so
that's
I'm not
right.
Sure.
I'm very sure. It's like, So could be one of my good friends. Yeah. So look, I mean, prevention of arthritis, you know, if people could prevent arthritis, we are the happiest people, right? And arthritis can be debilitating. I can understand the concern. Important thing to understand is that you need to be moving your joints. Now, Malaysia, unfortunately, we are not a sporting nation. I mean, you can go to Australia, you can go to New Zealand, everyone is out every day.
Well, it's part of the culture.
It's part of their culture. In Malaysia, our culture is eating. Right?
Unfortunately,
you know,
but yes.
That's it. I'm going to have a plate of nasi lemak after this, right? It's always about eating. And you hear about people going, let's go for a run, let's do some sports together. And so that we have to understand, we have to get it in ourselves that you have to be moving your joints first. And if you're leaving your joints, it's very easy. You just try lying down. Okay, put your hand outstretched like that for 3 hours. Can you move that joint after that? It's so painful to flex it after that, right?
Right.
So it's really important to be physically active, number one. The second thing is we have to keep to our BMIs, all right? We, unfortunately, one thing we are good at in Malaysia is being overweight. Okay, obesity, fantastic, number one. Well done, everyone, right? So why is that? You see, we need to be exercising more. We need to be watching our diet. That itself, I think, would do very well. It's not about medicines. When you have to take medicines, it's probably too late. Now, I know very well they are going to go into the supplementation thing. Now, really, end of the day, we need to look into ourselves first. The human body is designed for movement. If you look at it, people are climbing mountains, we are going down to the sea, we're going to space. All that happens with movement. So if we are not moving our joints at least every day, so trying to get the activity going, I think that in itself is really very good. Right. Okay. Another thing that I believe is important is sleep. We need to sleep properly. Mm-hmm. And we need to sleep at night, minimum 6 to 8 hours. That is absolutely important. It's something I'm working on, and I feel that we know that through research that the body seems to fix itself when you sleep at night. Right? So autoimmune diseases especially. So we're trying to encourage our patients, you know, you should probably sleep better.
So as with most things, eat better, exercise more, sleep more.
You don't need the doctor for that.
But unfortunately, many of us find that extremely difficult to keep to.
That's the requirement. You need to pay your taxes, right? So,
But you mentioned supplements, and actually, arthritis is actually one of those things where there are, you know, many supplements that people tout, you know, fish oil, glucosamine, chondroitin sulfate, as you mentioned earlier. You know, what is your opinion about these? Do they actually work?
My first opinion about it, the only opinion I have, is a lucrative field. You're a business station, right?
All,
you know what?
It?
Start peddling a product. You are going to make your money. Go ahead, get an IPO, get a share market. That's all it's all about. Money. Mm. End of the day, it's money. Now, I get patients coming and telling me, doctor, I'm taking this Kotoyotoban product from the jungles of Siberia, apparently very good for arthritis. I said, right, should I take it? And I look at the patient and said, I have absolutely no idea what this drug is about, but I'd like to know how much you pay for it. It's in US dollars.
Wow, okay.
Right, you know. So there's always money involved. You tell me a supplement where there's no money involved. And I'd probably believe something about it. Unfortunately, you cannot run away from the commercialization of it. Now, whether these products work or not, usually they will come with some testimonial. This person tried it, and look at this person, they're doing very well. There are products that have gone through, and they are probably the regulatory bodies have approved it, that have gone through this trial process. And they have randomized clinical trials, very significant numbers. But again, you have to look at who sponsored the trial. More often than not, it's the company that produced the drug that sponsored the trial.
Right.
Bias.
Yeah. So for a condition that is, you know, relatively common, why is arthritis sort of clouded with so many misunderstandings and misconceptions?
I think it's because of the age of the disease. Arthritis has been around for so long. When they unearthed the remains of the Native Americans, they actually discovered that many of them suffered from rheumatoid arthritis. So we know that this has been going on for so long. The treatment for arthritis has only been around for the last 50 to 60 years, right? Aspirin is an invention of probably the 19th century, right?
Right.
So people have been with aspirin for so long. One of the treatments for gout, colchicine, is actually from the plant called autumn chorus. And they were using that right during the time of Hippocrates as well. So I think the idea of what can treat which disease has been going on for a long time, and nobody's actually hit the mark. It's only because of the advent of our research culture and all the information that has been coming out from the laboratories and so on over the years that we're starting to get that information. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we do have a caller on the line. We have Rama on the line. Hello, Rama.
Hi, Doc. I just need to clarify a few things here. Being a layman, I need to know, is there a relationship between your uric acid, arthritis, and gout? I just need to clarify all of these. Thank you.
Very common question, I think, that is, because uric acid and gout is something that everyone connects.
Yes. That's it. Yes. Gout is because of uric acid, right? And uric acid, look, all of us have uric acid, right? And actually, uric acid is important for us because it is one of the most powerful antioxidants. Look, I'm a university lecturer. I'm going to start off with an entire lecture on antioxidants. I'm not going to get into that. But uric acid has a role to play. Unfortunately, in human beings, it can go very, very high, right? It can go very high. Now, some people, it goes as high as really very significant level, nothing happens to them. But there are those who respond in a way that the uric acid reaches a certain level and they develop crystallization, and these crystals deposit in the joints. So yes, gout and uric acid are related 100% to do with each other, but it's not that everybody who has hyperuricemia will get gout.
Right. Mm. So, you know, we are running out of time,
sure.
But what is your take-home message about arthritis? What is it that you think people need to know?
The most important thing is arthritis is not just the disease of people who are getting older. We have to understand that it is, in fact, something that we need to pay attention to, especially in the young people. Arthritis diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis, psoriatic arthritis, gout, while there's absolutely no cure, you can treat them and you need to address them early. Please do not look at, age as the thing. Oh, I'm young, how can I get this? If there are symptoms such as extreme fatigue, early morning stiffness, joint swellings, please do go and see your doctor. And there are panel blood tests that can be done that can help you towards being referred to a rheumatologist and getting treatment early.
Thank you, doctor.
You're welcome. That was
Dr. Sargunan Sokalingam, a consultant rheumatologist and president of the Arthritis Foundation Malaysia. If you have more questions, you can continue to engage with us at BFM Radio on Twitter. You have been listening, and our show is also available for download on podcast on bfm.my, on Spotify, and also on our BFM app. You have been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.